Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Monday, October 20th, 7:46 Central Time. Joining me by phone this morning, Dr. Bob Weiss from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, good morning to you and your listeners. I even found out last week a couple students I have in pastoral theology listened to this, so from Concordia Seminary. So I'm thinking, all right, praise the Lord and amen.
Amen. Well, so now we have to behave ourselves.
Oh, yes. Yes, we do. We have to make sure we're shooting straight, but we always do. So the scriptures and the confessions are what they are, and it's just like the good Lord says in the Bible, we don't take from and we don't add to. They are what they are.
That's right. That's right. Go ahead. I was just going to say, we have to make sure that they don't realize that you're a nice person, that you know, because you're always so strict in class.
Oh, yeah, I'm really strict. When I taught the medical school, your listeners might enjoy this, when I was at Wayne State School of Medicine and Clinical Hematology. Now, I have to understand, I'm not MD. I'm, as I call myself, a postal digger, PhD. And in hematology, I used to put on the board, when I first started lecturing up there, RTMOB. And the students would say, what's that mean? Dr. Weiss, I'd say, rough, tough, mean old Bob. Well, that didn't go very far, actually. So so anyway, I tell you, what I want to talk about is something I understand, and I'm sure you do and your listeners, and that's about aging in Christ. There was an article that was sent to me, it's basically called The Challenge, Old Adults, The Challenge, The Church's Challenge. I agree with what they're saying in here. I just want to start off with a quote, and this is something I've heard in the church where I'm serving as a vacancy here at St. James Evangelical Lutheran Church in Glen Carbon. And the older people, including my mom at 94, they keep saying, you know, hey, we need to get more young people in here. We've got to have the young people in here. And I've heard other churches say that. And the article brings this up, and they quote several statements here from Rich Bimler, who's been doing some lectures on aging. And I think that's good, that's fine, but now that I'm a 69-year-old with white hair, although I've had it coming in when I was 33, I think I'm starting to kind of understand and grasp what people are talking about here, and understanding also that as you grow older, there is this sense of we need more young people, and in some cases, now this is a kind of from my experience, the old people are kind of there, they're nice, and they're the ones with the money, and it's nice that they're here, but that's about as far as it goes. Mm. In some cases, and this is going to be a pretty strong statement, churches may be unknowingly treating them like weeds. Now, weed, by biological definition, is a plant out of place. And so it's kind of like they're in the place, but they're kind of like out of the place. But the Bible, I think there would be good Bible study here is just, for example, Proverbs 16:31, and this is what some people call the hoary head, H-O-A-R-Y, but it's better translated, gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained by a righteous life. And then the one I really like the most is Psalms 71, verses 17 and 18. Now, this is the only version I have in front of me right now is the NIV. It says, since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. So, obviously, the connection here is we have a lot of older people in congregations, and are the pastors, the DCEs, the deaconesses, the deacons, etc., the lay people, the younger ones, are we finding ways to get them involved? I personally don't think it's rocket science. This article gets into a few things that people are doing, like taking the older women and teaching the younger women how to quilt and so forth, and that's good. So it's kind of like we have the older people in the congregation who have studied the catechism and read the Bible, and they've been through so many things up and down in their personal lives. I mean, it's I think that the article ends on a bit of a negative note. Like if we're not going to celebrate aging, what's there to celebrate? I would say we celebrate aging in God's gifts of the older adults. Mm. For the church, just the local congregation, and certainly the church at large, because they are baptized members of the family of God, and they're part of the family that they are in at that point in time. And they really, in Christ, they know that faith holds to the words and promises of Jesus Christ, even through all of them, now here's a little bit of a snarky thing, through the Bengay, the Biofreeze, the Aleve, the Xanax, of lies, aches, and pains. They know about all of this. And I really think we have to start finding ways, just like the psalmist writes here, of to show what they can offer to the next generation. So I think that, in one sense, this is an area that I've written one article on it, and more people are saying to me, we need more practical ideas. And I asked them, I said, well, what would you do? Well, maybe we could get them into the confirmation classes. Maybe we could get them, if there's a day school, into some of the classrooms to talk about their life in Christ. So I think there are plenty of ways that people just sit down together with pastoral leadership and get into God's blessings for the older adult, and what is happening, and what they are doing, and what they have done for the church, the local congregation, and the church at large. So I'm thinking that I just wanted to kind of share that this morning, that this article brings out several of those areas where you can have maybe newsletters that older adults, are they writing articles in the local congregation newsletter? I've seen a lot of newsletters, but I've never seen a section for older adults other than, you know, the senior citizens are meeting. Why don't you ask the pastor, hey, can I have my little section of what's it like to be older in Christ? So that we can avoid labeling them and just remember that they're part of the body of Christ now, and that they're in the church, and they're not sort of the church of church past, but the church present. So those are just a few things, and there's a lot of other passages that talk about, like in Deuteronomy, remember the days of old, consider your years of many generations. And so I'm thinking that there's clearly a lot of biblical areas that one could study and help younger people understand that aging is happening to all of us, and by definition, medical definition, aging is change over time. And so I'm hoping that perhaps those who are listening might get to their pastor and say, hey, can we be thinking about doing some of these things for the older adults in the congregations that we're serving?
And I think also seeking out ways to connect our older adults in the congregation, especially those who maybe don't have a lot of family members or a lot of family time. Maybe their family members or their extended family is located somewhere else in the country, not nearby. Finding ways to connect those older members and younger members of the congregation of all ages, really, across the board in fellowship opportunities where they just spend relaxed time together. It doesn't necessarily have to be very structured time, but whether it's playing games together or visiting times to so that they can share those stories that you were talking about, so that the older adults can provide some indirect guidance, whether it makes a huge impact right now or later on in life when we remember those stories from those older adults. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. I know Lee Gross and that Lutheran Senior Service Center, and then, of course, my mom is in one Lutheran Senior Service Center over here in Meridian Village, and you talk to the chaplains, and they have a lot of things for those people to do, but so many of them are so down and depressed over the lack of family visitation. Families just, oh, I don't have time, and I talk to my mom, you know, and she's just so tickled when I call her every day or stop by unannounced, you know, oh, thank you for coming over, or you stop and see all the older adults lined up a half an hour, sometimes longer, before lunch, just waiting with bated breath to sit down at a table to talk to some of their friends, because some of it is by choice that they want to stay in their rooms, but if somebody knocks on the door and comes in, they are just so happy that somebody is spending time with them. And so I think what you're saying here is, yeah, this kind of maybe the local high schools, Lutheran High School, I know Lutheran South, Lutheran North, and so forth, and I'm sure they do this, but perhaps maybe they could have more regular visits, maybe quarterly. Just, you know, get it with the director and just turn them loose and say, here are some people you can visit and talk to them and let them tell you their stories. And boy, do they love to tell stories. and this just, you know, this is part of our Christian witness of building up the body of Christ, edification and encouragement, which I've always thought within the body of Christ we need more of, instead of just this radical individualism, we need to say, you know, this is the body of Christ, and we need to be sharing and talking about Christ. And you tell me your stories, you know, what it's like to be in your 80s and 90s and what you've been through in the Depression and so forth. And these young people, like the Bible says, they will learn.
Sure.
They will remember because they, too, are growing older.
And that doesn't mean that we have to agree with everything that someone says, but we could certainly listen, and there's so much we can learn from them, whether it's from a positive example or a negative example, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Job talks about that advanced years should teach wisdom, and young kids have to understand that knowledge is great, but wisdom is using that knowledge, and older adults can do that. So to encourage the pastors and other people who are listening and the Christians who are going to various churches, you know, get a hold of your pastors and see what's happening with the older adults in your churches, and start talking about what can be done in Christ for the good and well-being of the church, keeping all things in good order, but still hooking people together like you're talking about, Andy, getting the younger, the middle-aged, the older people together, regardless of where their families are. But when you do this, let the families know what's going on, too. Send them a letter and say, we've got your mom and dad involved in this, you know. So it's a whole issue of communication, and like Paul says, you know, this is kind of what we need to be doing, is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And of course, we just learned this past weekend we're to be good imitators of Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. So in that context, there's a lot that we can think about, and there's a lot in Christ that we can be structuring around to help older adults realize that they haven't been forgotten, but they are not the church of the past, but still remain the church of the present.
Amen. Well, thank you, Dr. Weiss. We'll talk again next week.
Okay.
God's blessing
to you and your listeners. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye now. Coming up in just a little bit, our study of the Daily New Testament reading with Pastor Corretto.